Hello, this is Fizz at Finishing.com, the homepage of the finishing industry. Here is part four of The Lost Art of Tin Nickel Plating by Lou Morin.
As I say, that combination of a non-magnetic, easy to lubricate, perfect throwing and covering power, though in many instances superior to electroless nickel. Remember, electroless nickel is a subject to the flows and eddies within the solution and solution replenishment, so the tin nickel is superior in many instances. The ballpoint pen tube that I suggested would never plate as well in electroless nickel as it did in tin nickel. So all these wonderful things to help promote the use of copper and the use of tin. Why am I bothering to do this? I kind of ask myself that. Well, maybe it's because I just hate to see what is as a technocrat, what I think is a terrific opportunity just lost. Its productivity is excellent. You can rack very high density because of its throwing power. You can have rather large loads, again, in barrel plating, because, again, of its throwing power. The cycle time is relatively short. It's the same as industrial nickel. It works much better in thin coatings, let's say under 2 microns, than even industrial nickel. There's a lot of things to learn about it. I don't know, for instance, about subjecting to heat treatment, what the upper operating temperatures are. Could there be some refinement of a post-tin nickel plating to help in solderability? Not that it's bad. It's just not as good as pure tin or 6040. That's what I meant. There's some publishing on electrical values. I never made an instrument where copper-based alloy components were not tin nickel plated. It is absolutely beautiful and absolutely corrosion resistant, and it belongs in every instrument. It's, as I say, compatible for foodstuffs, so I'm sure it's also compatible with body fluids. Would be unattacked by anything. In fact, is the only thing I can get it to stain was moist table salt. But apart from that, I don't know. In any case, it was an interesting morning as far as I'm concerned. My company, I call the company Moore, M-O-R Industrial, Box 640, Tarrytown, New York, 10591, 914-631-7891. Now hold on a minute, I want to see if I got any PSs. Yeah, one PS. A friend of mine bought himself a 36-foot sports fisherman, wanted to go fishing off Montauk saltwater, sports chair, and he got a second-hand one. He paid so much money for the boat and get us a second-hand fishing chair. But fortunately, it was all brass, bronze kind of thing. Hooray for that much. So I made a deal with him. I said, look, I'll strip and replate your fishing chair. And I never did anything other than industrial plating, so you can imagine how badly I wanted to do this. And plate it with tin nickel, and then we fanned it, just like color buffing. On a promise that you will never do anything more than water wash it. And this guy was cruel with the use of his boat, you know, one of those guys who never does anything to it except put gas in. And 2 years later, when I got a chance to see it again, it looked like brand new, just unaffected by all that mistreatment, salt water, rainwater combination of never put the boat up in the winter either. So it was a tough use and a wonderful performance. And let me say again, there is no other coating, which is in the EMF table sacrificial too, that is to say, anodic to copper-based alloys, which doesn't have a corrosion product, and that's tin nickel. A few more jobs that were more commercial.
I wouldn't do it myself because there was no money in it, but a good example. One of them was a manufacturer of hand tools for Sears and Roebuck and vice grip pliers. Yep, get them all assembled, rack them up, jaws open, ran them through a bright nickel, tin nickel sequence, followed that by water-soluble wax. Oils would do as well. I chose wax. And looked like stainless steel, absolutely beautiful. In fact, it says they even had their own name on it. As Texaco put their own name, too, on the Eklund point sets and coils, ignition coils. Looked beautiful. Showed the guy how to do it and said goodbye. I don't want to do that kind of work. Another one, of course, was the business about the wire forms, stands for TVs and that kind of thing. Bright nickel, tin nickel, boy, pretty. High-density racking. No lack of throwing power. No expensive chrome. Fast as hell. Could have a 8-minute cycle on a bright nickel on these things and have another minute in the tin nickel, and you had, again, followed by a water-soluble something, and you'd have a terrific appearance at lower cost. Also, when it's decorative, you don't have to be as selective as we were with our chemistry. Never did bother with the pyrophosphate, by the way. Running a job shop, I'm not an R&D outfit. Altogether, there was a great, great variety of shapes, sizes, base metals, and uses. One good one that took advantage of a lot of characteristics of tin nickel was the twin eyelets on connector boards. No, the little multiple terminal boards. Brass eyelet, generally two stations, drilled and tapped after plating. Well, would tin nickel plate them? Oh, half a micron. Let's see. No, 1 micron. Then do a water dip wax, very thin, molecular layers. And what that would do for them is that it would take all the forming, bending, and whatever. It was excellent low contact resistance. But the intermetallic compound tin nickel plus the wax on it gave them phenomenal tap life. Now, how's that for an angle? Near the end of this side, do fast forward and flip over.
That was Lou Morin in part 4 of The Lost Art of Tin Nickel Plating. Remember, this was originally recorded on tape back in 1990. I am Fizz at Finishing.com saying so long until next time. Copyright 2006, Finishing.com.